I'd like to start my message off with a little trivia quiz. See how good you are at trivia. And so we're going to talk about some movies, some books, some famous sayings, and you're going to have to tell me whether the person actually said what I told you to say. So I'm going to give you the name of a movie or a famous character, give you the quote, and you have to decide true or false whether or not the person said that. So the first one is the movie Casablanca. Casablanca, the line is, "Play it again, Sam." True or false, that line appears in the movie. How many people think true that's a line from the movie?
False.
Okay. How many think it's false?
False.
How many know what the line actually is? Simply play it. Play it. There's a long, he kind of rolls into it and he says play it. All right. Next one. Sherlock Holmes. Elementary, my dear Watson.
That's true.
True?
That's true.
How many say true?
I say true.
How many say false? All right. Well, you're both right. So, here's why. If you read the books by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Elementary, my dear Watson does not show up in a single one of the books. There are some movies from the 1930s where the line does show up. So, kind of give and take, depending on if you're a movie buff or a book reader. We'll give it true or false. Okay, last one. Field of Dreams. Build it and they will come. Line from the movie, true or false? True?
True.
How many say false? The line is, build it and he will come. Not build it and they will come. Where do these things come from anyhow, right? You think, all right, go ahead, watch the movie yourself. Go check them out yourself. Now, does it really make a difference if it was build it and they will come, or build it and he will come, or play it again, Sam, or play it? Not in the big scheme of things. But it happens sometimes. We get these words, these sayings, these phrases stuck in our head, and we're convinced they're true until we go back and we watch it. And some of these were like that. I said, no, I know that's what he said. I know he said play it again, Sam. Then I went back and watched the clip, and sure enough, that's not what he says. The same thing happens in our spiritual life. Same thing happens with our Bibles. We hear little phrases, little nuggets of spiritual wisdom along the way, and we're convinced that must be true. We hear it enough. We hear it from churches. We hear it from pastors. We hear it from other Christians, and they encourage us, and then we say, yeah. But then sometimes we go back and we look in our Bibles, which is where we go to determine our truth or not. What we talk about here is it's the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct. It's the place we go to check everything against. The phrase in the covenant is, where is it written? So we go back and we say things. And so the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at some of these phrases. Some of these things we hear oftentimes. If you've been around the churches, you've been around for a while, you've heard these things. People have said them to you. And chances are, you've probably said them yourself. And so we're going to take a look and see, are they true or are they false? Are they really what the Bible says? Are they really what God is teaching us? And sometimes we'll discover, kind of like the Sherlock Holmes one, there's some truth and there's some things that aren't quite so right, and discover what those is. So the first one we're going to talk about today is, God will never give you more than you can handle. All right, how many people have ever heard someone say that?
I have.
Most of us have. We've heard that phrase. So God will never give you more than you can handle. And so we're going to take a look. And so when do things like that get said? I want you to imagine a man named Harold. And Harold is a follower of Jesus. He is a part of his church. He's involved regularly. He's there early. He stays late. He reads his Bible. He prays. He gives regularly. He treats his family the way Jesus would want his family treated. And then one day, Harold goes to the doctor. And he discovers he's got a nasty cancer going on inside of him. The doctor says, there's really nothing I can do for that. There's no treatment. All we can do is manage your pain over the next few months. The next day, Harold goes to work, and he hears from his boss that the company's downsizing, and Harold loses his job. And then there's the daughter of his who's been kind of a renegade, and things are growing worse and worse between him and his daughter. And so 3 days later, Harold goes to his Bible study. He meets with a group of men every week, and he talks about their lives, and they share their lives. And Harold is pouring out his life to these guys, and he's saying, this is what's going on, and here's this thing, and I just found out I have cancer, and I lost my job, and as you know, my daughter and I haven't been getting along, and it's just getting worse. And one of his good friends looks at him and says, God will never give you more than you can handle. Was that a helpful phrase at this point? Is it something, but it's something we say, and most of us have said it, we've heard it said, but is that really what the Bible teaches us? Is that what God wants us to hear in the midst of pain? Is it a helpful thing for us to say? And so we want to look at that today. And so we're going to look at it through the eyes of this man named Paul. Paul was an early follower of Jesus. He had started churches. He had done lots of different things. And we read part of one of his letters today, a letter he had written to the church in Corinth. And we're going to look at some other parts from that same letter and a few other verses in the Bible and examine that phrase and say, is that the best way to think about things when things are going wrong in our life? God will never give you more than you can handle. And so I want to suggest to you a couple things. First is, where does that idea even come from? And there is a verse in one of Paul's letters. It's in 1 Corinthians. So his other letter, he'd written two letters, at least two letters to the Corinthians. One is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. Paul's talking about these things going on. He's been talking about the ancient Israelites and the struggles they were facing. And then he says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So Paul says, sometimes we face temptations. Sometimes there's these things that we're faced with a choice for right or for wrong. And he says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out. So that sounds kind of like the saying, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit like it, but it's not exactly the same. He's talking here primarily about temptations, about these things, these struggles that we face. And more important than that, he also says God will provide a way out. In this case, the temptation, we're not sure where it's coming from, but it says God will provide a way out. And I think that's where we get mixed up in this saying when we say God will never give you more than you can handle. And so what I want to examine primarily is the source of our trouble and the source of our help. What is the source of our trouble and the source of our help? Because when we take a look at that phrase, God will never give you more than you can handle. What's the suggestion? What's the implication? What's the idea going on behind? So if we go back to Harold, he's got his cancer, he's lost his job, he's got the struggles with his daughter. If someone says to him, God will never give you more than you can handle, what was the reason all those things are happening in his life? Because God gave them to him, right? That's what we say. That's what we hear when we say that phrase. Even if that's not what we intend, when I say to someone, if I'm talking with someone, they're going through a hard time, I say, well, God will never give you more than you can handle. What I just told them is everything happening in their life, all these bad things, are because God sent them. But is that what the Bible teaches us? Is that what the Scripture says? Is that what we believe about a God who would give his Son to die for us? That God sits there and says, I'm looking down and I see some people who need trouble in their life.
Oh, geez.
So where do troubles and trials come from? They do sometimes come from God. And so in part of his letter to the 1 Corinthians, in a later chapter, he talks about how there were people who were at the Lord's Supper. And so he talks about people doing it, and he talks about people getting sick. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. He says, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. There are times when God punishes people. There are times when God sends punishment. The Bible is filled with different events, different things going on, where sometimes the result of someone doing wrong is punishment from God. But it's not always true. John chapter 9. Jesus is walking along with his disciples. It says, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So here's a man born blind, and the instant assumption was, he must have done something wrong. Not true, Jesus says. There's no sin involved in this. It happened for a different reason. So sometimes things that are going wrong in our lives are the result of God punishing or disciplining us. Sometimes they're not. So where else do they come from? Sometimes they come from our own bad choices. They're the consequence. So if I get in my car and go 120 miles down the road and miss the corner and hit a tree and I lose both my legs in the process of that accident, do I look and say, well, God caused me to lose my legs, huh? Well, who caused me to lose my legs?
You did.
I did, right? So there are some times where we have the consequences of our own actions, the things we do. Sometimes the bad things going on in our life just come from the fact that we live in a broken world. That we live in a broken world. That people get sick, and it's just the nature of things going on in the world. That this world is not fully as it's supposed to be. So people get sick, people get in accidents. Sometimes it's a result of other people's sins. So if you have a small child, a child who's born, and they're during the course of the pregnancy, their mother's been taking drugs and drinking, and the child is born addicted to crack or addicted to alcohol, is it the child's fault? No. But there's some cause, some other person's cause, and so we look at it and we say, where did these things come from? Well, the one thing we can't say for every single thing is that God caused them. Sometimes it's just a mystery. So the phrase, God will never give you more than you can handle, we begin to see it falls apart a little bit, doesn't it? Because not everything going on in our lives is because God sent it on us. Not everything in our life, because what I believe when I read this is that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God wants the best for us. Sometimes he allows things to happen, sometimes he sends things to us, and sometimes those things wear us down and we wonder what to do. So earlier in Paul's letter, he says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We are under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. And those are the kind of situations we face. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Those are the things that we're talking about, those times when we're getting in those troubling circumstances and we feel like we've received the sentence of death, where it's beyond what we can bear. And so a phrase, God will never give you more than you can handle, isn't true completely, and it's not completely helpful either. So God will never give you, so that's the source. So we recognize that God will never give you more than you can handle has some problems with it, because God doesn't give us everything. Not everything we have, not all the troubles we have, not all the trials we face, not all the challenges we face come from God. They come from lots of different places. But the second part of it says, God will never give you more than you can handle. And you hear that phrase, then we'll go back to our friend Harold. He's sitting there in his Bible study, and his good friend has looked at him as he's spilled out all these things going on in his life, as he's talked about how he's at that point of breaking. And he hears these words, God will never give you more than you can handle. And what Harold might hear at that point is, suck it up, Harold. You got to be strong, Harold, because God will never give you more than you can handle. In other words, he's thinking, I got to handle this because God will never give me more than I can handle. So I've got to be strong. I've got to be tough. I've got to be, you know, full of courage, and I've got to be full of strength because I can do this. I can do this. And that's the part where Harold misses the second part. One is, not everything comes from God. But second is, it's not up to him. Back to the passage that Bonnie read earlier from 2 Corinthians, where Paul is talking about this thing going on, and he talks about this thorn, and it says, he says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, and so here, something is given to him, and the implication kind of by the language is God gave it to him, or God allowed it to happen, because Paul had a temptation to get a big head. He thought, oh, I can do this all on my own, and Paul says, that's going to get in the way of things, so let's keep you from getting that place. He says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, and people have spilled lots of ink and lots of thought trying to figure out what in the world that is. We don't know. Okay? The bottom line, we don't know what it is to torment. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Paul goes and he says, and this is perfectly reasonable. So when you're facing the challenges, it's okay to ask God to take it away. But God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. God doesn't look at Paul and say, you got the thorn in your flesh. Deal with it, Paul. He doesn't say, oh, come on, Paul, you can do it. Pick yourselves up. You know, you can handle this. God says to him, what? My grace is sufficient for you. So God will never give you more than you can handle? Yeah, God will give you more than you can handle. Sometimes you will face things that are more than you can handle. But you will never face something more than God can handle. And so we go back again to the beginning of 2 Corinthians, and I'm jumping around a lot here. So this passage where Paul says, indeed we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Read that again. It says, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And so what Paul is reminding us is, when we face those trials and when we face those challenges, it isn't about more than you can handle. The question is it more than God can handle? And so the question we ask ourselves then is, are there circumstances, are there challenges, are there things that we will face that are more than God can handle? No. There's nothing more than God can handle. Are there things that we will face that are more than we can handle? Yes, there are things that we can't handle. And we will fail. There are times where we will make the wrong choice. There are times when we will come into a temptation and we will fail that temptation. It happens to all of us. We will fail. But God will not fail. God will not face a circumstance that he can't handle. So let's go back to our phrase, God will never give you more than you can handle. A couple of practical thoughts on it. First one is, if you've ever said it, don't beat yourself up over it. I mean, don't say, well, I wish I never said that. I'm a terrible person. It's okay. We hear these things, we say them, and we realize, you know what? We all do things wrong. We all make mistakes. But next time, when you're sitting with someone and they're telling you about all the things going on in your life, and that little thought comes to your mind and says, oh, I've got a great little piece of spiritual wisdom. This little nugget, I'm going to give it to you right now and help you out. Stop it. Don't. All right, just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And if you're on the other side of things, if you're sharing your heart and you're saying, oh, there's things going on in my life and it's terrible, and here's what's going on, and your friend looks at you with all sincerity and says, God will never give you more than you can handle. Don't slap them, okay? Don't say, oh, look, my pastor told me that's not what the Bible says. Receive it in grace and say they're trying to do their best. Maybe later you can have the conversation about it, but it's not the time to do it. Because the truth is, usually when people say that, they're trying to do good for you. They're trying to help you. They're not trying to be mean. They're not trying to put you down. It's entirely possible they might be, but most likely they're not. They're most likely trying to help you out. And so receive it with grace. But try to avoid using those little phrases. So what can we say? What do we say to that person when the person, when we're sitting there at that Bible study, when we're sitting there on our couch, or when someone calls us on the phone, or they send us a text message, or we see something on Facebook and someone's struggling with all these kind of things going on and they're wondering what's going on. What sort of things can we say to them that will encourage them? What should we say when someone says, well, what do I do? What's going on? What do we say? Sometimes the best thing to say, nothing. Just sit and listen. Sit and listen, especially the farther you are. It's not helpful to say, oh, God will... These little things, they sound easy, they sound good, but it's best to usually avoid these. And so sometimes you can say, I'm sorry, and I'll pray for you. Or, can I help you in some way? Simply being there for that person, theological bits of wisdom, even when they're true, are oftentimes not what someone needs to hear in a moment of crisis. So I want to tell you a story about a moment like that to demonstrate why theological truths, even things that are true, are not always helpful in a time of crisis. So I'll take you back to when I was in the Army. Army is a great place for all kinds of stories. I was stationed in South Korea, and the battalion commander often did this thing called officer's physical training, or officer's PT, and he would get us up in the morning and take all the officers in the battalion, and we'd go out and do exercise together, and he'd do these crazy things. We're out on an exercise, and up on a hill was a South Korean Army compound. And we could see this huge obstacle course on there. And the South Korean Army compound had fences around it, guys with guns with bullets in them. And he assigned one of the other lieutenants and I, he said, I want you to find a way into that camp. Which I didn't think was the best idea in the world, but when your commander tells you to do something, that's what you do. And so we found a way, and so he brought all the officers in his battalion to exercise on this obstacle course. So first of all, we're where we're not supposed to be. Then it got worse. Reg Armstrong, our mortar platoon leader, was on the monkey bar. So he's up there and he's swinging along going like this. And then Reg missed one of his hands. And his body went sideways like this and he hit the ground. And all you heard was a big snap, which turned out later to be his thigh bone, which had broken. So Reg is laying on the ground, making a lot of noise. He's screaming in pain, understandably so. And he's laying there. The battalion commander's not being very helpful. He's kind of berating him for screaming like a stuck pig. But then there was another lieutenant, and I've forgotten his name by now, but he had recently come to Jesus, and so he wanted to tell everyone about Jesus. And so as Reg is laying on the ground there, screaming in pain with his broken leg, the other lieutenant kind of crawls up to him and says, "It's okay, Reg. God is with you." At which point, Reg started dragging himself across the ground, trying to strangle this other lieutenant. Was it true, and is it true, that God was with Reg at the moment? Absolutely. Was it a helpful thing to say at the moment?
No.
Probably not. Probably didn't bring him a whole lot of comfort. So let's consider those things when we begin to offer spiritual wisdom, when we begin to try and say things that sound spiritual or true. First of all, we want to say, are they really true? And God will never give you more than you can handle. Probably doesn't pass that test. Probably doesn't pass that test because not everything comes from God, and the source of our strength is not us, but the source of our strength is God. So it's not a helpful piece. One of the best things we can do when people are facing those trials, when they're facing those moments, when they're bearing pressure beyond what they can bear, sometimes the best thing we can do is simply be there and listen to them. And we can remind them that God does give them strength. And maybe that's the moment as they ask about it that you can share. We sang that song earlier. It was taken from the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read the passage from Isaiah chapter 40. Beginning at verse 28. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." So the strength doesn't come from within ourselves. It comes from God. It comes from remembering that the God we serve, the God we love, is a God who is beyond imagining, a God who loves us more than we can ever begin to fathom, and that it is his strength that we can rely on, not on our own. So when we're facing the troubles, we don't have to say, "Oh, I need to suck it up. I need to do it because God will never give me more than I can handle." He will give you more than you can handle, but he can handle it. And so it's a time to turn to him. And in the right moment, as you're talking with your friends, you can help them get to that point. But it may not be the first words out of your mouth. It may be a first time to listen. And so I want to end with another portion from Paul's letters in Romans. And this is again where he's reminding us of what God is like. When we're in those difficult circumstances or where friends are facing those, he says, "No, in all these things," this is from Romans chapter 8, "we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's the good news of the gospel. The good news isn't that God will never give you more than you can handle. The good news is that whatever you are given, whatever comes to you, whatever falls on you, whatever crashes down upon you, God can handle it. That's the good news. Mm-hmm. And that's the good news we walk out of here with today, knowing that whatever storms may come, whatever things may come, that God is walking with us through those, and God can handle each and every one of those. And what he invites us to do is to turn to him, not to our own strength, but to his strength, because it's in his strength, his power alone, that we can find the way to get through those times. You will never face more than God can handle. That's the truth we find today. That's something we can find here. And that's something we can rest on. Amen.